Bending Light, Chapter 3. Hermione bumped down a dusty track, the springs creaking under the seat of her bicycle. On loan from her boss, Giancarlo, it was ancient and a bit too big for her, but he had declared the distance to the swimming pond too long for a reach on foot. At this point and in this heat, Hermione had to agree. And she appreciated the slight breeze generated by her swift ride. At least it was blowing the sweaty hair off of her face. Every time she'd remarked on the beautiful weather since she'd arrived in San Cipriano, a local would laugh and tell her some variation of "wait until it gets hot." Well, a few days after Lavender had arrived, it had gotten hot. Hot like nothing Hermione had ever experienced. It was sweltering in the cafe, oppressive in the flat, and unbearable in anything but very deep shade. She and Lavender had even broken down and cast a cooling charm last night so that they could sleep. Hermione's moaning about it today had led to the suggestion of the pools and the loan of the bike from Giancarlo, who obviously pitied her thick northern blood. He'd even pushed her out of the cafe 30 minutes early. She'd stopped by the gelateria to see if Lavender might be able to sneak away, but the queue had been about 20 deep, so she'd given her harassed roommate a sympathetic wave and set off on her own. She must almost be there. Giancarlo had said no more than 2 miles, and it had been at least 15 minutes. Just then she caught sight of a small wooden sign with an arrow pointing down to an even narrower track, and a single word, "Pose," written on it in white paint. Thank God! She dismounted and edged down the path until it ended in a frizzle of dried brown grass and a string of huge trees. She propped the bike against one of the trunks and walked cautiously to the lip of what she could now see was a low stone cliff. Peeking over, she gasped involuntarily at what was below. The pools, understatement of the century, were actually a series of crystalline blue ponds, scooped and carved out of fantastical stone shapes and boulders. The rock formations were rounded and beautiful, some creating islands and natural jumping points, others making shadowed nooks that looked perfect for escaping the relentless sun. The place sat serene and apparently completely deserted, and the water looked so inviting that Hermione actually squealed aloud. Craning her neck, she noticed the path continued over the cliff in a steep descent, winding down through a pass between huge rock cliffs. So she shouldered her knapsack and began gingerly picking her way down, trailing her fingers over the smooth stone as she went. She couldn't believe this place existed, and that she seemed to have it totally to herself. However, right on the heels of that last thought, the distinct sound of a splash sounded from below the curve of the path. Bother, someone was here. But then Hermione chided herself. She couldn't expect that no one else would want to take advantage of this place on a day this hot. By the time she walked around the bend, she was resigned to company. She just hoped they wouldn't be loud and would let her swim in peace. A movement attracted her eye and she looked down, then stopped short. He was below her, standing on the tallest rock, obviously poised to dive or jump. Still streaming wet, he must have just climbed out of the water. His skin glowed a light gold, and his hair, although darkly saturated, looked as if it could possibly be blonde. As she watched, he reached up and sluiced it back from his forehead with a careless motion, the movement doing interesting things to the muscles of his back. He was absolutely beautiful. She couldn't even see his face, but it didn't matter. Her gaze skimmed over his broad shoulders and finely corded arms. Oh, he was diving because he had raised them over his head. The long curve of his back and slim hips. Perfect arse. He was tall and elegant somehow, in his movements and bearing. Hermione swallowed and reached her hand out to touch the rock face next to her again. her fingers spasming against it. She wanted with a sudden intensity to run them down this boy's arms. She watched dumbly as he took flight, with a graceful motion, and disappeared over the front of the rock. A light splash sounded seconds later, and she started out of her reverie. God, what had come over her? She'd never felt anything like that before. Such a pure stab of lust for someone she didn't even know. She hadn't even seen his face. She blinked and forced herself to start down the path again. What the bloody hell? She didn't usually do this. She wasn't boy crazy like Lavender, who hadn't changed, and despite claiming to still be in a place of healing after the wounds of last year, had already started flirtations with both the milk delivery man and the flower stand boy. But of course she had noticed boys, had crushes, been curious, felt attraction, taken it further. A series of images flitted through her mind. Ron's broad shoulders under his Quidditch uniform. Maurizio's liquid eyes dancing at her. Charlie Weasley rolling the sleeves of a work shirt over tattooed forearms. Victor's lush mouth. Adam's glinting smile. Even Harry, and the way his hair curled against his neck when it got a little too long. She'd noticed these things, yes, and noticed what they did to her. The frissons and increased focus, the tinglings and the flutterings. But this was different. She felt heat start low and then spread up her chest and into her face as she reached the bottom of the path and a smooth rock platform that led down to the water. Where had he gone? She wanted to see him again, see his face. A quiet disturbance in the water from around the side of the rock let her know that he was probably climbing back up, probably going to jump again. She couldn't spot him at the top from this angle, but she saw him break the water, a perfect line with barely a splash. He was under for a long time and she tried not to stare, but also tried to track where he'd surface. She didn't see him, but heard that telltale rippling again from around one of the soft bends of the rock. She shook her head impatiently. She was here to swim, for fuck's sake, and not stand in the boiling sun like a lust-struck idiot. But as she put down her things and stripped down to her white two-piece, her thoughts returned to him, and she glanced surreptitiously around, trying to find him, but with no luck. She slathered on sunscreen and stepped out of her canvas trainers, wondering if he was from the village. He didn't look Italian somehow, although she knew northern Italians could be fair. But she would have noticed him, or more accurately, she wouldn't have missed him. He must be from a neighbouring town, or maybe he lived at one of the massive estates that dotted the countryside. He had that air about him somehow. Hermione squinted as a wisp of memory tugged at her consciousness, but dismissed it when she couldn't catch it. She bent to pull her towel and arrange her things neatly in her bag, thinking that if she swam around the side of the rock ahead, she might be able to see him. He'd certainly notice her since she was the only other person there. But she also didn't want to be too obvious. She'd do a bit of exploring of the pools before she sought him out. She half smiled at her own cunning before straightening and taking off her hat and sunglasses. Then pulling out the elastic that was holding her hair in a tight bun at the nape of her neck, feeling the longer curls fall down her back. She raked through them with impatient fingers and turned to face the pool. Finally ready, she stepped into the water, which was deliciously cool, and skimmed beneath the surface. Draco pulled himself out of the shimmering blue water and onto the face of the rock. Climbing swiftly, he reached the top and flung himself down onto the heated stone, letting its warmth on his chest and the sun on his back seep through his skin and into his bones. He hadn't slept well last night. Bloody heat. and as he lay, his body pleasantly fatigued from swimming, drowsiness stole over him in a sweet wave. He let his eyes flutter closed, soft birdsong and smell of wet granite lulling him into further relaxation. But he knew he shouldn't fall asleep in the sun. He may have gotten less pale since he'd been here, but he'd still burn no matter how many protective charms he cast. His lips lifted slightly. Other than the heat, this last few days had been almost good. His life had definitely gotten into a rhythm here, a pattern that seemed to soothe him. Maybe he was healing. He snorted to himself. Twat. But really, if he compared the previous 6 months with the last 6 weeks, it was like night and day. A period of stifling, airless blackness followed inexplicably by a burst of warm light. How had he gone from a daily routine of casual sadism and concentrated evil, the prospect of certain death after his abject failure at his assigned task, to this? Pristine pools in the sun, working in the shop, waving to the bloody locals as he walked into the town square. Even Theo was turning out to be a surprisingly entertaining presence. And besides, he hadn't been at the flat for the last 3 nights. Draco stretched his arms and rolled his neck. In many ways, it was truly baffling. He'd never really thought of an alternative future to the one in which he would grow to be his father's son. He'd been raised for it, trained and groomed since he could form memories. And even if he had been growing away from the bigotry, he'd never really doubted the rest of it. But this experience was showing him that there were different paths, different lives, and to his deep surprise, he liked this one. Strangely, it suited him. He wondered if it was what he would choose for himself, if he had the choice. He wondered if he deserved it. Was that disappointing? Lucius would certainly think so. Accepting a life like this would mean a sort of failure, not to mention conceding a certain type of power and influence. But Draco found himself unmoved. What did any of that matter? He'd used to have such pride in the whole thing. He'd stood shoulder to shoulder with Lucius in every way. But it had all changed somehow. He'd gotten a glimpse of what his future would be like those months at the manor with Voldemort, and his flunkies, most of them idiots, all of them single-minded and just incredibly mind-crushingly boring. Draco couldn't think of anything worse than being among them, being one of them, for the rest of his life. That, more than anything, was what had made him lower his wand. He shook his head, pushing such heavy thoughts away as he shifted on the rock, lifted his head slightly and cracked his eye open. There was movement from down near the main shore. Someone else had shown up to swim. He blew out his breath, slightly disappointed, then propped his chin on his closed fist to get a better look at who it was. He breathed back in swiftly as he realised it was her. The girl in the red dress. Theo had been banging on about her again the other day. He tried to go and see her at the cafe and had just missed her. And apparently Maurizio was obsessed, probably because she seemed to be resisting his advances thus far. Smart girl. Draco canted his body towards her and watched as she dropped her bag and scanned the pools. It was definitely her. He'd recognised those legs anywhere, and she was wearing the same wide-brimmed straw hat with the black band. It shadowed her face, and her hair was bound up under it like the other day. He wondered what colour it was. His eyes travelled over her smooth brown skin, appreciative of the fine lines of her limbs, admiring the pert curve of her arse under a simple fitted dress. He shifted on the rock and frowned. This could be trouble. Then his eyes widened as she pushed the straps of the dress down over her shoulders and shimmied out of it, and covering a white bikini that was extremely revealing, especially when she bent over and started digging around in the bag at her feet. Draco felt a very distinctive stirring and closed his eyes against the vision, taking a deep breath and reminding himself that he didn't want complications. When he opened his eyes again, it wasn't much better, because although she had stood up, she had twisted towards him and was now fiddling with a tie at the back of her neck, an action she turned into a long stretch that highlighted the lean plane of her stomach and lifted what looked to be an absolutely perfect pair of tits. Draco swore softly, but could no longer tear his eyes away. And as he watched, she turned away again and threw down her sunglasses and hat, then reached behind her to loosen her hair, which tumbled over her shoulders in a riot of brown and gold curls. The hair was really the end of him. His fingers instantly itched to tangle in it while he kissed her gorgeous neck. He was well down the path of his fantasy, already undoing her bathing suit tie and biting her smooth shoulder, when she turned back around and Draco actually gasped out loud in shock surprise. Because he knew that face. Even if the body had been covered by years of unflattering school uniforms, and the hair had been transformed by the sun into a lighter shade. But the face. Winged brows, delicate mouth, determined chin, that had been undeniably beautiful since about fourth year or so, was exactly the same. And it belonged to Hermione fucking Granger. Draco leapt up and moved so quickly and silently out of the swimming area, he may as well have been a thestral. As soon as she slipped under the water, he bolted, although he'd stared open-mouthed until she'd gone in. Grabbing his clothes, boots and rucksack, he sprinted to the motorcycle and jammed on the pedal to start it, tearing off down the path to the road before he had time to think. Hermione fucking Granger. Shit. Shit. Shit.
Do you want a refill?
Lavender stuck her head in the refrigerator and pulled out a half-full bottle of straw-coloured wine. Why not? Hermione held up her glass. She was feeling pleasantly relaxed after her morning of work and afternoon of swimming, and the cool liquid was going down rather easily.
So he just disappeared?
Lavender wrinkled her brow as she filled Hermione's glass. Yeah, it was so strange. He must have gone out the other way, or the timing was just perfect for me to miss him while I was under the water.
Well, he doesn't sound familiar. I don't feel like I've seen anyone tall and fair like that in town.
Believe me, you would have noticed him. Hermione snorted into her glass.
Oh?
Oh, Lavender's eyes lit up. So he was... gorgeous. Hermione shook her head and looked into the distance. Although I never did see his face.
What? How could you tell then?
Lavender had started to laugh, something Hermione had realised she did a lot. It was rather infectious, and Hermione grudgingly admitted to herself that she enjoyed it. She was actually coming to enjoy Lavender herself, much to her own surprise.
Oh, I could tell. If you had been there, you would have agreed.
Well, he shouldn't be too hard to track down, looking like that. I'll start asking around.
No!
Hermione looked at Lavender with a sort of appalled amusement. She was like a bloodhound when it came to men.
Why?
I don't want to come off as a sort of mad stalker. I don't think it's wise in a... situation.
Hermione picked up a paper napkin that was sitting on the table and started tearing it in careful strips.
What? We shouldn't date because we're in protection, or because they're muggles.
Lavender paused in pulling a pack of almond biscuits out of the cupboard and leaned against the counter, her expression quizzical.
Hermione grimaced. Both? It's just like, well, what if we had to leave very suddenly, for example?
Hermione, they're young and they're men. They'll get over it.
Lavender laughed again, but this time with more of an edge. I know, I just... Maybe it also feels frivolous in these times.
Hermione Granger.
Lavender wagged her finger at her.
A love and affection, yes. Sex are basic human rights and shouldn't be denied or backburned just because there's a conflict or a war or whatever this is.
She waved the biscuit pack in the air. Hermione had started chuckling, but Lavender talked over her.
No, I'm totally serious. We couldn't deny ourselves that joy and that release.
She punctuated her point with an index finger in the air. Hermione gulped, a huge swallow of wine. Have you ever had sex? Lavender's eyes widened, and Hermione gasped and put her hand up. You don't have to answer that. Oh my God. Damn wine.
No, it's fine.
Lavender pushed off the counter and came to sit with Hermione at the table, throwing the now open pack of biscuits down between them.
We're living together for who knows how long. We can't hide from each other.
She paused.
And the answer is yes.
Hermione could tell by the seriousness of Lavender's expression that it had been Ron. She shoved a biscuit in her mouth. With Ron, she croaked out. Lavender nodded slowly, her eyes on Hermione.
And one other, and before him, a muggle boy I met the summer before 6 year.
A muggle boy? Really? Hermione was so surprised she almost forgot about the whole Ron thing. Not that she really cared, although it did feel strange that she hadn't known. But it wasn't like he could have told her. She wondered if he'd told Harry, though, and then felt a tiny stab of sadness that they might have kept it from her. But again, how would that conversation have gone?
Yes, Lavender was saying dreamily,
and Hermione tuned back in.
He was French and so good-looking.
Hermione made an indistinct sound and slurped her wine again.
What about you?
Lavender suddenly snapped into focus.
Me? Yes, you. Have you ever had sex?
Hermione's mind raced. Did she want to share this? She hadn't told anyone, but she'd been the first one to ask, and Lavender had been honest. Yes, she finally said, looking down at the table.
Not with Ron.
Lavender's words came out fast, and there was a kind of cringing quality to them.
No, God, no.
Hermione reached out involuntarily and touched Lavender's wrist.
That would have been awkward.
Lavender laughed again, but this time it was tinged with relief.
Harry?
Hermione almost missed the question in the laugh.
What? No, it was a boy from home. Last winter break. Also a muggle.
I was pretty angry with Ron at the time, and Adam was visiting my neighbour from university. He was handsome and funny, and we started spending a lot of time together. And eventually I thought, why not? Lavender was nodding along. It was lovely, Hermione continued, with a little shrug.
Good. Mine were both lovely too. Mostly.
Lavender's smile was a little sad, and Hermione was reminded forcibly of what a git Ron had been, even if Lavender had gotten a bit clingy at the end. Hermione was preparing a major subject change to the question of what to have for dinner, when Lavender spoke again, abruptly.
Sorry if that was a weird thing to ask about Harry. I always wondered. You're all so close. I always thought most of the tension was between you and Ron, but you and Harry have such a bond.
That's true, Hermione said slowly.
So have you ever, with Harry, anything,
tell me to shut up if I'm prying too much.
Hermione smiled briefly.
No, nothing. We're just friends.
Why do you think that is?
Lavender retrieved the wine and distributed the last of it between their two glasses.
Do you want the long answer or the short?
Both. Lavender's eyes twinkled.
Okay. Well, the short answer, the one I give everyone and which seems to satisfy most, is that he's like a brother to me.
Lavender nodded.
But, Hermione continued, that's not strictly true. There have been certain moments, connections. I could see us, like, making one of those pacts, if we're not married by the time we're 30, you know?
Lavender nodded again.
He's my best friend, Hermione said softly. I'd do anything for him.
He's also bloody attractive.
Lavender raised a brow in a lecherous manner, lightening the mood Hermione's serious words had introduced.
Hermione cracked up. Oh my God, you are insatiable. You were dating his best friend. Doesn't mean I don't have eyes.
Lavender got up and twirled away from the table with a wink.
I'm thinking risotto tonight?
Oh, yes, please. Tell me what to do. Lavender had turned out to be a surprisingly good muggle cook, and Hermione was happy to take direction.
Chop an onion and tell me more about the swimming bloke, so I can track him more efficiently.
Oh my God. Lavender laughed again. Chapter 4 Hermione sang goodbye to Giancarlo and pushed out the door of the cafe. The pleasant sensation of having a few errands to run before going home for an evening at home settled over her as she walked down the street, and she hummed a little tune as she ducked into the bakery. After a sociable stop there, she made another at the fruit and vegetable stand, and then one at the Enetica. Each took a good amount of time, since one couldn't just run in and out of a shop in San Cipriano, but instead had to spend at least 50 minutes chatting with the owner about the weather, the latest town gossip, and often the principal's personal lives as well. Hermione loved it, but it did mean her usual scheduling tactics were thrown off, and she glanced around nervously at her watch as she hurried out of the wine shop and up a particularly twisting street. She wanted to get to the bookshop before it closed for the evening. A customer had told her yesterday about an Italian language class that was being given a few towns over, and apparently the Libreria was the only place in town to sign up for it. Hermione was keen because she felt the instructional model, which was to match pupils with native Italians for structured conversations, would be ideal to give her a boost into true fluency. She hurried the steps. Today was the last day to sign up, because the course was starting at the weekend, and she had about 5 minutes before closing time. It seemed strange that the Libreria wasn't a more regular haunt of hers, but Hermione had visited it the day after she arrived, and it had just depressed her that her language skills weren't strong enough to allow her to appreciate its extensive selection, especially since it was a particularly loved specimen, with tall ceilings, big windows, and delightful little nooks for sitting and browsing. She'd eyed the small shelf reserved for English language books forlornly, realising she'd read all that were worth reading. Then she'd just left, and hadn't gone back. But this course would help, she told herself, as she tripped up the step to the shop's door and swished through it, relieved that it wasn't locked already. The familiar peaceful silence and sharp tang of paper and leather greeted her, and she inhaled with pleasure. Maybe she should be coming here more often, just to soak in the atmosphere. She glanced at the till, thinking to ask the elderly female clerk she'd spoken to with the last visit about the course. But no one was behind the counter, although a cup of tea steamed on the blotter. That was odd. In her experience, Italians rarely drank tea.
She lingered, waiting for the clerk to show up, but soon became impatient and began walking down one of the aisles, craning her neck as she reached the end and turned up another, scanning it with no luck. She was about to go back to the counter and just wait when she heard a thump and a muffled curse. In English, from somewhere behind her. Surprised, she turned and followed the sound to the far corner of the shop and saw that there was another room tucked away through a small, crooked doorway. She peeked in. The room was small and dim, but tall-ceilinged with what looked like older, more rare books slotted in neat rows and built in shelves. A couple of worn velvet Chesterfields sat back to back in the centre of the space, and just behind them was an old-fashioned wooden ladder on a track attached to the shelves. And standing on the ladder, Hermione realised with shock surprise, was the boy from the pools. She knew him instantly, the long legs and set of his shoulders, the curve of his back under a fitted waistcoat. He was turned away and his face was in shadow, but there could be no doubt. Hermione suddenly felt a bit breathless, a little pulse of excitement shooting through her. He worked at the bookshop. She took a quick step forward and her hand floated to the doorframe. She was about to say something, make some kind of noise to alert him to her presence, eager to finally see his face, when he moved, bending slightly to place a volume on the lower shelf. As he did so, the light from one of the tiny, thick-paned windows at the top of the room slanted against his profile and hair, and Hermione inhaled sharply, as several realizations piled on her at once. Because his hair wasn't just fair. It was pure silvery platinum. A shade she'd only seen once. Well, twice in her life. Before her shocked eyes, a wisp of a memory and niggling perception from the other day flowed into full recognition, and she realized with a feeling like falling very fast from a steep height that she had been ogling, no, a lusting after Draco bloody Malfoy. Draco bloody Malfoy, who was here in San Cipriano, apparently working in the bookshop. "It was you," she said, the words hissing from her mouth before she could stop them. He froze on the ladder, his arms raised in the act of shelving another book. As she watched, he lowered it slowly and squared his shoulders, then took a deep breath and turned halfway towards her, his gaze trained on the ground.
"It was me."
His voice held wary resignation.
"But what? How? You knew it was me?"
Hermione's outrage grew as it began to dawn on her that he had run away rather than speak to her the other day. He climbed down the ladder and turned slowly.
"Forgive me if I didn't want to encounter you for the first time in a deserted location."
He crossed his arms.
"After my, activities this spring."
"What?"
Hermione only seemed to be able to manage affronted sputtering at this point. She was so furious at herself for her reaction to him. He raised his brows and shrugged.
"Oh, for God's sake! We were briefed, Malfoy."
Hermione shook her head.
"I know what you did, or didn't do."
"Ah, well, glad we've straightened that out then."
He shifted, and Hermione's eyes were drawn to his crossed forearms, bare under rolled sleeves, which seemed oddly unlike him. So informal, so muggle. She shook her head mentally. This was Malfoy, not the anonymous boy from the pools.
"So you're here," she said brilliantly, "in San Cipriano."
He blinked and shook his head once, looking at her as if she were dim.
"I mean..."
Hermione took a deeper breath and waved her hand, as if trying to physically dispel some of the awkwardness and clear her garbled reaction.
You're here. Under protection, too.
Merlin's sake, Granger.
He discreetly pulled out his wand and muttered a quiet silencing charm.
Sorry, she muttered, feeling a faint heat wash up her neck. I'm just really surprised.
She leaned in the doorway for support.
How long have you been here?
2 weeks.
Quite a bit before Lavender and me, then, she murmured, almost to herself. I wonder why they didn't tell us. Probably too distracted.
Lavender?
His brows shot up.
Lavender Brown is your partner.
Hermione felt her brow lower as she started to smirk.
Oh, fuck off, Malfoy.
He leaned back against the ladder, his mouth twitching and his eyes mocking.
It's not that bad, she said. We're actually becoming friends, so you can stop chortling.
He'd snorted as soon as she said friends, clearly unable to hold it in.
Oh, for God's... Well, one thing is clear. You remain a total arse.
She turned on her heel and walked out of the room and back towards the front of the shop.
Wait,
she heard, as she moved rapidly towards the door.
Granger.
What?
She stopped near the till, still vibrating with irritation. He moved and hurriedly up to the centre aisle of the shop, his elegant stride unmistakable now. How could she not have recognised him before?
What are you doing here? At the shop?
He reached the counter and stopped.
Were you sent, or...
All traces of mirth were gone from his face now, and he looked down at her seriously, perhaps a touch anxiously.
Shit, the language course.
Hermione tilted her head back and blew out a breath. She had really wanted to make a grand exit, but she couldn't let him derail her purpose.
No, it's not any official business. I just wanted to sign up for that language class that's starting Saturday in Aquino.
Ah.
He leaned on the counter and crossed his arms again.
Your Italian not quite up to snuff?
Hermione glared at him.
I'm picking it up very quickly, thank you.
She didn't miss the fact that his Italian must be rather good if he was working in the bookshop. This knowledge did nothing but provoke her further.
Hmm.
The sound was somehow dismissive and disbelieving, and Hermione felt her jaw grow more rigid the longer she stood there. He continued to lean and look in an insolent way, and she found her eyes drawn back to his forearms, and her mind back to the moment on the rock where he'd stretched them over his head.
Fuck, what was she doing? And my vocabulary's strong. I just lack fluency, she blurted, in an attempt to get her thoughts off that ridiculous path. I think the style of the course will help.
Perhaps,
he said, pushing off the counter and passing behind it.
Here's the sign-up.
He handed her a clipboard.
And here's the information sheet. Bring payment to the first class.
Hermione eyed the sheet and then took the clipboard, signing her name and listing the telephone number for the flat.
Telephone number. So how are you finding living in the Muggle world, Malfoy?
She asked, smirking at him this time.
Are you able to dial a phone and pay for things with Lyra without bursting into flame?
It's not rocket science, Granger.
Oh, a Muggle reference. My, aren't we reformed?
Hermione couldn't keep the bitterness out of her voice, and as she spoke, an echo of his old sneer crossed his face.
Didn't think I had it in me, did you?
He said flatly, the question not actually rhetorical.
Didn't think you'd lower yourself.
His eyes narrowed, and his cheeks suddenly flushed pink. He opened his mouth to respond, but just then the bell on the shop door tinkled, and an elderly man tottered in. Malfoy replaced his angry expression with one of bland politeness and greeted him, then started what seemed to be an ostentatiously fluent conversation. His accent was flawless, and it was highly annoying. Even more annoying was that she couldn't understand everything they were saying, although she caught enough to make out the man was looking for a particular book, and that Malfoy wasn't sure they had it. But she lost the thread again when Malfoy started recommending alternative titles. An impressive number, she grudgingly admitted, rolling off his tongue. He made to move off down the aisles with the man, and Hermione put down the clipboard and started to walk towards the door. Suddenly the man gave a cry and stretched out his hand to block Malfoy from going any further. He spoke rapidly. Again, Hermione couldn't quite catch it all, but she could see the faint pink rise in Malfoy's cheeks again as he attempted to interrupt. And then Hermione did make something out.
"Bella signorina," the man said,
gesturing to her with a smile and practically pushing Malfoy in her direction, waving off his protestations and, Hermione caught this part quite clearly, telling him not to ignore a girl with legs like that. He gave Malfoy a final shove and loped off, surprisingly spry, around the corner. Now it was Hermione's turn to feel heat rise in her cheeks, although she also felt laughter bubble in her throat. How absolutely mortifying for the Prince of Purebloods. Rather than run out of the door, which was her first instinct, she thought she'd wait around and see how he handled this. After all, he was living with muggles now. He'd have to get used to it. She waited with raised brows and he wandered back, looking over his shoulder and moving slowly.
"You understood that, did you?"
"Enough." Hermione could feel her lips twitching.
"Well,"
he sniffed, stooping and looking her up and down.
"If you go around in clothes like that..."
"Like what?"
"Short."
His brow went up and he slid behind the counter again. Hermione looked down at her perfectly normal length rolled linen shorts. "They're not that short, Malfoy." He just shrugged. "Look, we're in my world now, and I'm telling you." Hermione's hands snaked to her hips, her irritation blooming full strength, until she realised a faint smirk was playing at his lips. She stopped her harangue and took a deep breath, forcing herself to calm down. "Anyway."
"Anyway?"
He turned away from her and started fiddling with the ancient till on the opposite counter. "I guess we'll be in touch." Hermione felt extremely awkward saying it, but they were sort of in this together. They were the only wizarding folk in town as far as she could see, them and Lavender. Oh God, Lavender was going to die of laughter when she heard about this.
"I guess,"
Malfoy was saying with an indifferent lift to his shoulders. Hermione rolled her eyes and started moving to the door again. She was asked if she was going to be responsible for him in any way. He could come and find her if he needed something. "Well, I'm at the Café Trieste, and Lavender is at the Gelateria most days. Her flat is on Via Corse, number 12, at the top of the street if you..." "Wait!" She stopped, arrested. "Who is your partner?"
"Theo Knott,"
was the again indifferent response.
"He's at the Trattoria in the alley off the main square."
This time his voice was a bit sing-song, and she got the impression he was bloody making fun of her.
Arsehole.
She decided to not take the bait. "With Maurizio?"
"Yeah, he knows Maurizio well."
"So do I." "Huh. I can't believe we've missed each other all this time." Theo Knott, Maybe she just hadn't recognised him. She barely knew him. He was just another one of the pack of rich Slytherin boys she tried to avoid her entire school career. In fact, now that she thought about it, it was rather amusing that two of those boys, and especially Malfoy, were relegated to this little muggle town and their little muggle jobs and allowances. Huh.
Maybe it was uncharitable to think that way in the middle of a war, but she couldn't help but feel some schadenfreude. She sniggered softly and reached for the door handle. "Well, I guess I'll see you around."
"Mm-hmm."
Malfoy appeared absorbed in a receipt he was checking against the day's inventory. Hermione paused for a second, and he didn't look up. "Arse," she whispered under her breath as she finally pushed out the door. Draco slid the huge metal Muggle key into the shop's lock and twisted it until it snicked. Signor Molinari waved once more and shouted his thanks, and Draco lifted his hand as the old man disappeared around the curve of the winding street.
Gods, when had he become so bloody committed to customer service? It was nearly an hour past closing time.
He shook his head. At least chatting with the old man had taken his mind off the previous encounter. He'd known it was going to happen. He'd told himself to be ready. But somehow he had still been unprepared for her to just pop up in the bloody shop, wearing the shortest... He shook his head again as he set off up the street to the small square where his and Theo's flat was located. He wasn't supposed to be thinking about that. He was putting that out of his mind.
"Hey-o!" A call from above provided a welcome distraction.
Draco looked up to see Theo balance precariously in their sitting room window, one leg dangling over the sill and a cigarette between his teeth.
"He returns," Draco squinted up. "Careful up there. And where the bloody hell have you been? It's been a long time, even for you."
"Julia," Theo sighed, leaning his head back against the window frame.
"What the fuck does that even mean, dramatic wanker?"
Draco muttered as he left himself in and walked up the single flight of stairs to the flat door.
"What the fuck does that mean?"
he said louder as he walked into the flat itself.
"She saw me with Angelina after work the other night. I had to stay to prove my love to her." "Oh my God. You truly belong on the stage, you and all your girlfriends."
Draco dropped his satchel and went straight to the row of bottles that lined their counter.
"Drink?"
he asked, and Theo nodded.
"God, yes, I need it. I'm absolutely knackered. Let me tell you, Julia has this technique that increases..." "I do not want to hear about it."
Draco held up his hand.
"Please." "Prude? Fuck off."
Draco handed Theo a cool glass and settled in his favourite armchair.
"So are you moving in with Julia then?" "It will be lovely to have the flat to myself."
"No." Another sigh.
"I broke it off. Told her she was too possessive."
Draco choked on his drink.
"After you..."
"Yeah." Theo waved his hand.
"It's fine. We were never exclusive."
He straightened up.
"I was lucky to get out of there with all my parts intact, though. Don't recommend fucking around with Italian girls." "No."
Draco blinked, then shook a cigarette out of the packet and lit it.
"So it's Angelina now, then?"
"No," said Theo mournfully. "She broke it off with me. Said anyone who had put his cazzo in Julia was, I think, a filthy pig whore? Or maybe it was dirty pig fucker." Draco stared and started laughing. Theo shook his head.
"I really do need to brush up on my language skills. So yes, anyway, I'm officially Singolo again."
Draco got up from his chair, still laughing, and then drained his drink and started making them a new round.
"Speaking of language skills, I have some news."
He looked over his shoulder at Theo and raised his brows.
"News about what?" "The girl in red, Maurizio's girl."
"You saw her?"
Theo sprang up out of the window.
"I met her. She came into the shop."
Draco handed him another Negroni
and crossed to the window himself.
"And I saw her at the pools the other day."
"Well?" Draco looked out onto the scene below. Some children playing in the fountain, the old man who ran the newsstand shutting it up for the day.
"What do you want to know?"
"What do I want to? She's gorgeous, as Maurizio says. Do I need to get down to the cafe and start my 12-point plan to cut him out?" Draco snorted.
"So she's not attractive."
Theo sounded deflated.
"I didn't say that."
"Oh, I see." Theo lit another cigarette. Draco pivoted and leaned against the windowsill.
"See what?"
"You want to keep her for yourself." Draco snorted again, but louder this time.
"For fuck's sake, can you stop being so bloody cryptic?"
Theo flung himself into the chair, sloshing his drink over his hand and swearing as he shook it off. Draco laughed and decided to put him out of his misery.
"She's likely everything Maurizio says she is. But there's one rather big thing about her."
"What? Her arse?"
"No.
Actually, that was rather..." Draco cleared his throat and shook his head once again.
"She has a peg leg.
She's bald. A tragically limited vocabulary.
She's Hermione Granger."
Draco watched with amusement as Theo's eyes and mouth grew rounder with each second that ticked by. He sat there silent and still for several moments, starting up only when the ash of his cigarette dropped in his lap and started smouldering.
"Fuck, fuck!"
he yelled as he smacked his crotch. Draco was really laughing now, and after Theo got himself under control, he sent Draco a very dirty look with an accompanying gesture. But then his face cleared.
"Hermione Bloody Granger, here?"
He looked into the distance, then his eyes snapped back to Draco.
"Are you sure? Wouldn't someone have, I don't know, notified us?" "Yes, I'm sure it was her. Know-it-all mouth, bushy head and all, taking up a lot of room in my shop this afternoon," Draco drawled. "And she didn't seem to know we were here either, so clearly the order isn't making notification a priority."
"Figures she'd be in the bookshop," Theo said, his voice trailing off. "And does she look different? I mean, I guess she's always been pretty, but Maurizio..."
"Italy agrees with her."
The words popped out of Draco's mouth before he could keep them in. Damn second cocktail. Regret immediately bloomed, and he saw Theo's eyes brighten and his mouth curve up.
"Oh, ho, ho. So that is the way the wind blows. And you saw her at the pools. Looks good in a bikini, does she? And I seem to remember you being rather taken with her red dress." "Fuck off. Nothing is blowing anywhere."
Draco sincerely hoped the warmth he felt creeping up his neck was not visible.
"Uh-huh."
Theo continued to look at Draco with narrowed eyes. Draco stayed perfectly still and held his gaze. He knew any sort of flinch would fuel Theo's fire. Finally, Theo broke their staring contest.
"So what was she doing in the bookshop? Still swatting it up?" "Ah, no. She was actually signing up for that language course in Aquino, the one I was saying you should take."
Theo looked at Draco silently for a moment, then tapped his chin.
"Well, maybe I will."
He jumped up and moved to the kitchen.
"Theo, don't go getting involved with Hermione Granger," Draco said,
again before he could stop himself. Bloody hell, what was he doing?
"Why ever not?"
Theo looked up angelically wide-eyed from the interior of the refrigerator.
"Just complications.
Draco gestured with his empty glass.
I don't mind a little complexity, and I'm intrigued.
Theo straightened.
First Maurizio, now you. Now me, nothing. What the bloody arse are you on about?
Nothing, nothing at all.
And now where did you say the class meets?